This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Miravis Ace Fungicide from Syngenta for wheat growers who want to get a head start on head scab control. How has COVID-19 changed the way you're doing business? I'm sure the changes for many of you are minimal and completely manageable, but what about farmers and livestock producers and dairies with a workforce? It's tough enough to worry about your health, but when you take on some responsibility for the health of those around you, man, that changes things.
Live from a socially appropriate distance via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we'll talk with Dr. John Howe, president of the American Veterinary Medical Association. Then it's our Farmer Forum with panelists Howard A.V. Roth, president of the National Pork Producers Council, and Scott McGregor from Iowa. And right after the news, Margie Eckelkamp from AgPro Magazine. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Laurie.
Davis Michelson, thank you so much, buddy. Yo, appreciate it. Everything good over there?
Super duper, my brother. How about you?
Good, good. Doing just fine, just fine. Yeah, looking forward to the Farmer Forum coming up here in just a little bit.
Yeah.
But first, let's bring in Jim Wiesmeyer. Jim Wiesmeyer is the Pro Farmer Policy Analyst. Been in the business now six decades, right, Jim?
It feels like since 1972.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There you go. Dude, we've got some tough news to report this morning.
Yeah, sad heart. World Perspectives founder Carol Brookins died Monday evening, Chip, after succumbing to the COVID-19 virus. She was 75 years old, been told she fell ill after returning to Palm Beach from Paris 2 weeks ago. And bottom line, Chip, we could take a whole program on her, but she had a storied life, a pioneer, a woman in the ag industry. She broke so many barriers, made things happen, graduated cum laude from college. She was a municipal bond trade underwriter in Chicago.
Yeah.
She was a market reporter at the Board of Trade. And that's when E.F. Hutton spotted her, and she became an ag reporter and had her own service with E.F. Hutton on it, like a teletype thing. Right. And in the 70s, she rose to become vice president of that department, and then she began her own firm, World Perspectives. Again, a pioneer in the ag industry.
Yeah, someone that really worked hard to level the playing field on information out there. The whole reason the Institute started, Jim, as I understand it, the whole reason that she started the Brookings Institute was to level that that information playing field after the great Russian grain robbery, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And she had the gift of knowing economics, macro side. She could connect dots. And she was the first columnist for the Washington section in the then Commodities Magazine that became Futures Magazine. So Merrill Oster, one of the founders of Pro Farmer, spotted her right away.
Exactly. Sad news. We lost a legend.
Yes, a legend.
Absolutely. All right, Jim. Thanks, buddy.
Sure,
we'll talk to you again soon. Okay, Davis, before we get to market, let's get to some of the news in the markets.
Well, yeah. How about a little good news? White House and Senate negotiators report they have come to an agreement on a $2 trillion financial rescue package designed to mitigate the impacts of the coronavirus outbreak. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell compared the measure to wartime-level investment in the nation, saying, quote, "The men and women of the greatest country on earth are going to defeat this coronavirus and reclaim our future, and the Senate is going to make sure they have the ammunition they need to do it." Chip, while President Trump is on board with the measure, the House is currently out of session, which could prolong its passage through the House. Speaker Nancy Pelosi said yesterday she hopes to quickly approve the measure. The package would contain over $130 billion for hospitals, doctors, nurses, and community health centers, $150 billion for state and local governments, dramatically expanded unemployment compensation, and strict oversight of hundreds of billions of dollars for business loans. Yeah. Senator John Hoeven said in a news release that the legislation would increase the amount USDA's Commodity Credit Corporation, or CCC, can borrow, increasing it to that $50 billion from the current cap of $30 billion. Chip.
Right, absolutely. And remember yesterday when we had Vince Malanga on from LaSalle Economics out of New York. He said the whole package is $6 trillion, and it just rolled off his tongue. And I thought, well, I'm going to have to look at that later because I thought it was $2 trillion, but mm-hmm. with all the tax cuts and the incentives and right. and everything, yeah, the total of this thing is like $6 trillion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable.
Well, the number of coronavirus infections worldwide has swelled to nearly 430,000 cases with 19,120 deaths. 55,000 cases and 102 fatalities have been reported in the United States. And Chip Prince Charles, heir to the British throne, has reportedly tested positive for COVID-19, although sources say his symptoms are mild. And we are definitely seeing the virus take off here now with almost 450,000 cases worldwide, Chip.
Right. Yeah. And we keep hearing about President Trump wanting to, I don't even know how to say this, Davis, reopen the economy, jumpstart the economy, clear the way for people to get back to work. I don't know exactly how you say what he wants to do. And he wants to do it by Easter. That seems like he's being a little optimistic on this. When you look at that timeline that you have talked about so much, the COVID timeline, where we are at on that timeline, Easter sounds optimistic.
Yep. And quickly here, EPA does not appear to have filed any motion or challenge to the 10th Circuit Court ruling that invalidated three small refinery exemptions for 2016. And finally, FDA has approved veterinarians to examine animals virtually, easing compliance rules to encourage social distancing. We'll have more on that in the next segment, Chip.
Absolutely. We're going to talk with Dr. John Howe, the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association, and that is going to be one of the things that we will be asking him about. Thanks, Davis.
You bet.
All right, let's bring in Margie Eckelkamp, the editor of Ag Professional. How you doing, Margie?
Chip, I'm doing good.
Okay, you've had a little time to digest everything that is happening here as the COVID-19 response continues. What's your take now?
Yeah, so I one thing that I've been trying to work through and analyze is what could this mean? What could social distancing mean? What could no on-farm visits mean for ag retailers? And it's meant a lot more phone and email communication with farmers as they're finalizing 2020 orders. And specifically, what does that mean for e-commerce? And I think let's define some things. So cash and carry, those transactional customers on e-commerce, that's what I think many people jump to, but what I think going forward, what COVID-19 will do that will change ag retail is much more ag retail businesses will digitize their interactions with customers. So having their own grower portals, for example.
Yeah.
And two examples I want to highlight this morning, you know, Nutrien has said that every year they intend to invest $100 million on development with a focus on their integrated digital platform. To date, about 62% of their customers are active on their digital platform. And then just yesterday, I was on the phone with a co-founder of AgVend, and they say in the last 3 weeks, the number of retailers in their pipeline wanting to develop their own grower portals for their business has increased threefold. Three times as many retailers are working toward developing a grower portal.
Margie, we're pulling the future forward because of this.
I think so, and it's going to be something we're going to continue to report on.
Well, and it's something that we need to stay on top of because the learning curve on all of this just steepened because of the need for the kind of stuff that you're talking about, Margie. Stay on top of it. You got to.
We will. We're all in it together.
You bet. That is Margie Eckelkamp, editor of Ag Professional. We've got Dr. John Howe up next on AgriTalk. After getting over the stress of last season, wheat growers are looking forward to 2020, hopeful new practices will make a positive impact on their operation. Today I'm talking again with Sarah Jahant. She is Agronomy Service Representative with Syngenta. Sarah, we've talked a lot about what growers experienced in 2019. Based on what you saw last season, what are your recommendations for winter wheat growers?
Maintaining a crop rotation where possible is really important. And also be cognizant that These pathogens are available in the environment really on a year-in and year-out basis, and most of them overwinter on crop residue. Even rotating a year away from that crop doesn't necessarily get you totally free, because that residue can be present for, say, 2 years, and you would still have that inoculum. So rotation is important, but it's not a sure thing that you don't have to worry about using fungicides because you're rotating. What we want to do is offer fungicides that, regardless of your inoculum load, we can offer protection to the plant so that it can maximize its yield. In the case of Miravis Ace, which has a very long residual, we can put Miravis Ace on, protect from head scab, but then also protect from Septoria and all the other diseases that are present as well. I would advise growers to pick high-performing varieties for your area with good tolerance to head scab, and then plant them timely, manage them aggressively to maximize yield, and then rely on a top fungicide in Miravis Ace to protect that yield.
Thank you, Sarah. Once more, that was Sarah Jahan, Agronomy Service Representative with Syngenta. To learn more about Miravis Ace, contact your local Syngenta sales representative or visit SyngentaUS.com/Miravis-Ace. Always read and follow label instructions. At Brandt, we're once again breaking ground on groundbreaking technology. It's called EnzUp, and it's a revolutionary product featuring new enzyme that helps prime the soil for success at planting by boosting enzyme activity and creating a rich environment around the seed. This function helps plants emerge quickly and come out strong, which gives the crop its best chance to face what Mother Nature has in store and can increase yield up to 15%. So don't break ground this season without the groundbreaking technology of EnzUp enzymes by Brandt. Find EnzUp at Brandt.co.
Where does harvest begin? At Great Plains, we believe harvest starts when your combine leaves the field. At this exact moment, your fields take on the potential to become something greater. Using sound agronomic principles, we are proud to offer you innovative, high-quality equipment to create opportunities for growth, higher yields, and success, year after year. Since 1976, our products have been built right here at home in the USA, where we've stood by farmers harvest after harvest. Create a lasting legacy on your farm. Visit GreatPlainsAg.com. Great Plains, harvest starts here.
This just in from the front lines of the fight against tough weeds in soybean fields. Growers have taken the next step with the ultimate secret weapon, Fierce Brand herbicides from Valent USA. These pre-emergence herbicides protect soybean fields with multiple effective modes of action, residual control that lasts up to 8 weeks, and fierce resistance management to help you win the battle against resistant weeds and the war. Ask your retailer or visit valent.com/fierce to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with ProFarmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous 1 month free trial. ProFarmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Let the proven performance of Prosaro fungicide maximize your grain quality, yield, and profit this season.
Hey, Davis, here's one that you're not going to...
How you make them? What?
What?
I'm sorry. I was talking to the studio audience. I was just saying this is how a real radio show is made.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very exciting, isn't it? It's almost like, you know, you don't even know if someone is out there. But Chip won't be here. He won't... He won't be
sorry,
here.
I'm sorry, everyone. I'm
He's
sorry
in his
about
place.
That. Yes, oh, yes. We're in the
ugly.
Bunker. We are in the
ugly.
Bunker. Yeah. Davis, here's something that you won't hear me say very often, but the Dow is up 450 points, and equities are mixed.
Because
the NASDAQ is slightly lower. The S&P is higher, but the NASDAQ is still trading lower. The technology stocks are working to the downside today, which is a little surprising. But the Dow is continuing to move to the upside. A lot of the support there, I think, is coming from what has been dubbed a rescue package now instead of a stimulus package. A rescue package. All right, let's have a conversation right now with Dr. John Howe. John is the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association. He joins us right now. Dr. Howe, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Very good, very good. Hey, this is obviously a difficult time, and when we think about how it's changing life on the farm, I'll admit, I didn't go to the local vet and how it's going to impact their lives. That wasn't my first thought, but in a lot of areas, Dr. Howe, that should have been exactly my first thought because of the livestock intensive areas out there. How is this response impacting the members of the AVMA, and how do you think it's going to change things going forward?
Well, there's been a huge impact on veterinary medicine. At AVMA, of course, we have written to all the governors and tried to inform them, let them know that veterinary medicine is an essential business. And so, fortunately, most states have labeled veterinarians as essential businesses, so they can continue to practice, especially in the agricultural area. That's critical to our nation's food supply and food safety. So a lot of veterinarians are doing, like my old practice, it's a mixed animal practice. So we have veterinarians that are out in the country all day long, and then small animals and every species out there. So they do a lot of curbside things with small animals so that everybody's not just necessarily automatically coming into the clinic. And the large animals, one thing we've been able to do, the FDA has relaxed the requirements for the veterinary client-patient relationship. So they've temporarily suspended enforcement of a portion of that. Of course, it still depends on individual states. But that makes it easier then if you haven't been out there, in a certain period of time and seen individual animals. So you can still prescribe extra label drugs, or if you're going to write a veterinary feed directive, say you got a group of beef cattle that are suffering from respiratory disease, you can write that veterinary feed directive to get them treated.
Okay. What's your take on that, Dr. Howe? Because me being someone that grew up with livestock, I mean, there were many times that I remember I would have liked to call up Dr. Bechtum and said, hey, doc, I've got this happening out here. What should I be doing? But he always said, well, I got to come out and take a look. What's your take on this? Is it a good thing?
It's a good thing. And it's a federal law and a state law besides. And if you didn't come out there and look at the animal and you prescribed something and something bad happened, that you could lose your license.
Right.
All I'd have to say is, well, he told me to use this drug, or he prescribed this for me. But did he look at the animal? No, he didn't look at the animal. That's already an offense. So it's good to do that because people do make mistakes too.
Sure.
I've had people call me and tell me they were sure, that their cow had one thing, and you go out there and it was actually a left his place to have a mason, and it would have died in a day if they hadn't, somebody hadn't come out and been able to operate on that. So
exactly. Okay. So the relaxation of those requirements right now, we need to be careful with this, correct? I mean, we're not going to be making initial diagnosis over the phone, are we?
Not necessarily, but we can also, a lot of things we do, we've always done, well, not always, but since modern technology, But people can, if you've already got a VCPR, you've been there recently, and you're, you know the herd, you're familiar with all the animals, and they can show you, you know, with their cell phone, they can do a video clip of something, tell you what the temp is, or you got a limping leg, he pulls up, you know, one of the feet, and you can say, yep, that's hoof rot, here's what you need to do. So some things that are easy and stuff like that, you know, we have done and will continue to do.
Okay. All right. Very good. Does this, this temporary relaxation, do you think that's going to change the way that you're going to do business in the future?
I think, well, that's only temporary. And even when it goes back to normal, I think people will still use more telemedicine, teletriage, things like that. A lot of people already are, but I think it'll be used even more so in the future.
Okay. All right. Very good.
You know, it limits staff exposure to things.
Right.
It allows clinics to monitor health of patients, and you know, so it's just it's a good way to economic savings and
absolutely
for everybody.
Absolutely. You know, I'll admit, Dr. Howe, when I think of a veterinary service, I'm thinking about the large animals. I very rarely think about the pets, but obviously the need for the vet services for the dogs, the cats, the other pets out there, it's much needed. And I'll bet that's where a lot of the difficulty in conducting business now with COVID-19 in the picture, that's probably where the biggest changes are taking place, is it not?
It is. It is. Yeah. And in most where you have to limit it to 10 people, you know, in your place of business, that doesn't include your staff. But depending on the size of the practice, you know, it'd be could be difficult to limit 10 people coming in. So that there's a big effect from that.
Absolutely. You mentioned drugs, prescription drugs for the animals. One of the big concerns all along here has been the supply chain and whether it would be interrupted. Are there any shortages of those drugs that are fairly commonly used? Any concerns on the supply side?
Not to my knowledge about drugs, but of course, huge shortage in personal protection equipment, and a lot of states, governors are requiring dentists and veterinarians to do, you know, do an inventory of how many PPEs they have and, you know, send them off to some hospital, and which I can see if there's a big need for that in certain areas maybe, but you know, veterinarians need those things also. We're doing emergencies every day, so we have to have, you know, masks and gowns and that type of thing. Yeah. Of course, at AVMA, everything you want to know at avma.org/coronavirus, there's everything listed for veterinarians and for general public even to look at. And there's recommendations on how to conserve or reuse certain personal protection equipment. So there's a wealth of information on that type of thing.
Gotcha.
But that's the area that they could be in short supply. But, you know, a lot of doctors, they're doing surgery every day on cattle and horses, and and so they need all those things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What about on the respirators? Obviously, there's big concern that we're not going to have enough respirators for human use at the hospitals. Can they be, can the respirators that you're using be used on humans?
Yeah, some of them can. Some of them might not be quite big, but a lot of them are the same. there is some respirator, in fact. So, yeah, that works.
Interesting. Interesting. What's the fun? We've got just a little bit of time left here, Dr. Howe. From American veterinarians, what do you want producers to know?
That we're there for them, and they need to use us whenever they can. You know, I just want to say, you know, like veterinarians and everyone working in ag, you know, have a responsibility to society, especially at this difficult time. It's very important work. It's difficult. very difficult at times, and I want to commend everybody out there that's doing everything every day to protect human and animal health and to produce our nation's food, ensuring that it's safe and wholesome. And as president of the AVMA, I want to thank you for these people for doing this essential work. And I want to thank and let veterinarians know that the AVMA is working around the clock to advocate for their work and the public resources.
Excellent. Thank you, Dr. Howe, so much.
When weeds get tough, AmVac answers with the power of Impact brand herbicides, proven to control key grasses and tough, glyphosate-resistant broadleaf weeds. Impact is the standard in corn safety. Impact brand herbicides, tough on weeds, not on corn. Get more information at AmVac.com/impact. AmVac, Impact, and Impact ZR trademarks owned by AmVac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Always read and follow label instructions. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide.
Protect your investment and experience peace of mind with a PowerGuard Protection Plan from John Deere. Offering similar bumper-to-bumper coverage as your original factory warranty, PowerGuard has plans for both residential and commercial machines, from riding lawn equipment and utility tractors to combines and sprayers. With up to 7 years of total coverage available, PowerGuard extended warranties provide flexible monthly and hourly terms along with no or minimal deductibles. Ask your local John Deere dealer today about PowerGuard Protection Plans.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Brian, if you didn't know any better, you could look at the price changes in the ag markets today and say, yeah, it kind of looks like a typical Wednesday. And the market action is, there really isn't too much surprising going on here, is there?
Yeah, no, a lot of it's more normal than what we have seen here recently, Chip. The corn market, it's higher, building off of yesterday. There's some talk that demand coming into the marketplace. USDA announced a couple cargoes sold to unknown of corn. And then there's some talk that China's in for maybe upwards of four cargoes yesterday. So that's given us a little bit of price support. The weekly ethanol numbers weren't probably as negative as what everybody feared, given all the talk of the ethanol demand destruction. That's going to come in the weeks ahead. But, the latest reporting week, it wasn't as bad as what everybody anticipated, I think.
Man, I tell you what, if we had this talk of the Chinese corn buying in the market and we didn't have the struggles in the ethanol industry going on like we do right now, this is the news that we've been waiting for in the corn market, but it's coming at the wrong time because of the ethanol issues.
Definitely. It's doing a little more than just keeping us afloat at this point in time, and I guess that's a win in the grand scheme of things based on how price actions happened over the past couple weeks here.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We've got some mixed trade going on in the live cattle market. Feeder cattle market is trading mostly lower. Mixed trade in lean hog futures with some pressure there in the back month contracts. Brian, thanks, buddy. Stay safe. We'll talk to you again soon. That is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. I'm your host, Chip Flory. you know, Dave, it's in that conversation there with Dr. Howe. As we started talking about the small animals, the pets, I've just had, you know, different situations kind of flash through my head.
Because,
you know, the large animals, the livestock producers out there, if they've got the need for the vet, they're going to make the call and they're going to have some understanding if this is happening, that, that it might be a little delayed, but give me some advice and I'll take care of it. Okay?
Right.
For those pet owners, in a time like this, listen up, pet owners. Do not lose your minds. Be patient with these vets. Be patient with your veterinarians, okay? This is not the time. This is not the time to, lose your mind over something like this.
Agri-kitty.
Thank you so much, Agri-kitty. All right, Davis, let's get this Farmer Forum started. What do you say?
Do it, baby. Do it.
All right. Let's bring in Scott McGregor. He is a cattleman and a row crop producer from Northeast Iowa. Scott, it's good to talk with you again. How you doing, man?
Real good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely. How are you and your family coping?
Real good. Actually, you were talking about pets. I had to smile, almost laugh. My wife Cook came and grabbed the dog out of the office here so he wasn't squeaking his squeaky toy when I was talking. So, everything's good. The self-isolation is going well on our farm. Like you say, we beef producer here, and my brother's in Northeast Iowa, got a cow-calf herd and a feedlot. And, we had feed delivered today, and that's a great thing that the feed companies are still hard at it because, you know, the cattle got to get fed.
That's right. That is exactly right. No doubt about it. All right, let's bring in the second participant in today's Farmer Forum. We've got the president of the National Pork Producers Council, Howard A.V. Roth from Southwest Wisconsin. A.V., thank you for making time for us, and welcome to the Farmer Forum.
Hey, thank you for having me on here. It's great to talk with you guys.
Absolutely. Okay, it's your first time on the forum there, A.V., so let's hear about you. Obviously, you're president of the National Pork Producers Council, but let's hear about your operation, too.
Yeah. So born and raised here in Southwest Wisconsin. It's a fifth generation farm. It's actually a century farm. We have not quite 3,000 sows, farrow to wean, you know, baby piglets up to about 21 pounds. And we also have about 70 beef cows and some hay, corn, and oats.
All right. Good stuff. Good stuff. So how did you come to be president of the NPPC?
Lucky.
Yeah.
It's great. It's been it's been great. Been on the board now 7 years, and it's more for me. You learn so much. This has helped me grow as a producer, as a person. The people that I've gotten to talk to and communicate with has been great.
Okay.
The staff that NPPC have is amazing.
Awesome. Awesome to hear that. AV, same question to you to start this off with you. How's the COVID-19 situation changed life for your family?
Actually, here on the farm, things are going normal. We're coming to work. People are more aware of anybody being sick, but everybody that works here on the farm comes from a farm background, and they know that the animals need to be fed. They need to be taken care of.
Yeah.
Things like that haven't changed, and that's one thing about it being great that it's been considered essential here in the U.S. The one thing that has changed, and me and my wife have five kids that would normally be in school, so we got a few extra helpers out here on the farm.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. So are you managing a labor force, a workforce up there, AV?
Yep, here at the home farm, I work with about 8 other people.
Okay. All right. So how, obviously, you already said that everybody is aware of the social distancing and so on. But it sounds like for you, everybody's showing up for work and getting the job done.
Oh, absolutely. We've always had high biosecurity here. we have, you know, those masks that people are running out of. We've always had here for people to use. No one's using it. People are being more aware of whether they have a fever or are sick.
Right.
And just a lot of talk. So,
very good. Very good. You know, Scott, when we talk about this social distancing and the risk to the labor force, the on-farm labor force is one thing, but this cattle market, it seems like it factored in a worst-case scenario on what would happen if somebody at a slaughterhouse got sick and they had to close down a beef packing plant, didn't they?
That is probably the number one concern at both NCBA and Iowa Cattlemen's Association right now, is keeping the integrity solid on the whole food chain system. You know, really anywhere from cow calf all the way to the consumer's plate, it's crucial that there's no hiccups anywhere in the system. Right. And the packing plants are being real good, working with their staff, I believe, you know, making sure there isn't any illness that goes through, and then making their shifts very fluent and adjustable to the system, you know, so they can keep the beef moving through the chain, because any small hiccup would be devastating to the industry.
Right, right. You know, Scott, it would be devastating, but at least the beef industry has had some experience with it. And I'm not trying to belittle it at all, but that fire at the Holcomb, at the Tyson plant in Holcomb, back in August, it should be providing the beef industry at least some confidence that if we do have one plant go down, we can spread those cattle out over the rest of the industry, right?
That's a pretty good point, Chip. We have experience with that, and that's true. I mean, they had to get – it's all the whole logistics thing, from getting the trucks here, getting the people here, yeah, getting the box beef here and there, getting it moved, because we've had a huge swing in demand here in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be about 50-50 retail food service. Now there's a 77% increase on retail.
Oh,
it's huge. Gosh. And did you know that the second largest employer in the state of Iowa is the food service industry?
Yeah.
I mean, these people aren't working.
Right.
I mean, but
right,
we got to keep them going.
Yeah, that is absolutely right. AV, like I said, the beef industry at least has a little bit of experience on what would happen if a slaughterhouse shuts down. We don't have that experience, at least not right now, for the hog industry, and it just sends chills up my spine when I think about a slaughterhouse shutting down.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they again, with slaughterhouses, they take tremendous worry about biosecurity in there. I mean, they actually, you know, after every shift, they completely sanitize down the whole plant.
Yeah.
So I've heard of some places actually giving, checking temperatures of people going, yep, in, you know, just to make sure. And if someone comes up and has a fever, then they're isolated and can't come to work. But they're working very hard to keep them fully staffed as much as they can. It's already been an issue in pork production and in processing plants being short of people. And that's why we're really working hard on the visas. So.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, all of a sudden, you wouldn't expect that a health crisis in this country would turn us back to some of the immigration issues that we've had to deal with over the years. But here we are. Sanderson Farms had a worker at one of their poultry processing plants with a confirmed case of COVID-19. But Scott, they didn't close the plant down. They sterilized the area that worker was in, and they're continuing to process there. That gives me some hope that if we would see – oh, we just lost Scott here for a little bit, so I'll go back to AV and ask you the question. AV, it gives me some hope that if we would have a worker at one of the processing plants get sick, that maybe we could keep it up and running.
Oh, I absolutely believe we can. And I want to make sure everybody knows that this is not a foodborne virus.
Good for you.
So it's just, you know. But, yeah, I think people deal with that just like they would have if anybody got sick. You know, FSIS, yep, they have people that people get sick at times, so they have a backup crew behind them. So everything is going to be inspected by USDA and be healthy so that we can keep the kitchens full, try to keep the stores full of meat. They've been buying pretty good, and that's been very, very good for us.
You know, AV, the talk has all been about how the beef has been cleared out of the meat case, but pork is experiencing the same sort of demand increase at the retail level, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Can go, you know, I was at the Walmart here about 5 days ago, and there wasn't a drop of pork there.
Yeah.
There was some alternative products in the case, but that was it.
All of a sudden, the fake meat doesn't look nearly as attractive as what it's been made out to be, does it?
Absolutely. That's what the consumer there thinks. So.
That's right. I've seen you're not the only one that has mentioned it, AV. That's why I'm kind of bringing it up, because I've seen more than a few pictures where the plant-based quote-unquote meat products are still left in the case while there's very little, if any, real meat left in the case. Okay, we are talking with AV Roth from Southwest Wisconsin, Scott McGregor from Northeast Iowa. When we come back, let's get away from the COVID-19. What decisions are you making right now for your farm? What's happening on your operations right now?
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Farming is a risky job any time of the year, but the stakes are particularly high in the spring. And we are here with Mimi Falkman. She is a lubricants expert with Senex, the energy brand of CHS, to talk about some smart, easy way that farmers can reduce the risk going into the planting season. Why is spring such a risk for the equipment, Mimi?
Spring can bring a variety of those unknowns. Because Mother Nature is so unpredictable, so it's important to prepare now to mitigate those risks where they can.
Yeah, absolutely. So get us ready. What should farmers be doing with their equipment?
So there's three things that are really important that farmers can do now, and they're really easy. The first one is to check the outside of their equipment. So do a walk around the unit, make sure that there isn't any damage that happened during harvest, make sure all of that debris is away, and that piece of equipment is ready to go into the field. The second thing they can do is to check the inside of their equipment by taking a used oil sample and submitting that for analysis. So that used oil analysis sample will be able to tell them if there's any underlying issues or potential things that could cause an equipment failure further down the line. And then the last thing I would say is that farmers should stock up now on the items that they need on hand this season. Taking that extra trip to the store now will save them that hour later when they really need to be in the field.
Absolutely.
So they should stock up on any additional parts, but they should also stock up on high quality lubricant products as well.
Well, yeah, those quality lubricants are going to reduce a lot of the risk for your equipment this spring.
Using a high-quality lubricant like a Cemex Maxtron diesel engine oil, THF, or grease really can help them have that peace of mind that it's been proven to protect the areas in that piece of equipment to keep them running for the rest of planting.
Absolutely. Don't cut any corners with the equipment out there. Thank you so much, Mimi. Hey, don't forget, talk to your local Cenex lubricants dealer and visit Cenex.com to learn more.
The mighty Prosaro, king of fungicides. Its fast action and long residual make it the keeper of grain quality and yield, the hammer of head and leaf diseases, the number one reducer of scab. When your goal is greater wheat quality and higher yield, use Prosaro fungicide, and the crown of higher profit will be yours. Learn more at prosaro.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
Planting season is fast approaching. Are you confident your depth is set correctly, or are you assuming your T-handle placement is correct? From seeing thousands of planters across the country, the folks at Precision Planting have found that even when depth setting is the same across the planter, actual planting depth can vary by up to 3/4 of an inch, leading to erratic emergence row by row. A simple block check can be done to avoid this issue. Visit planterexpert.com to find a Precision Planting dealer who can help you get smarter every season and avoid row-to-row variability.
I'm Andrew McRae, inviting you to join me for Farming the Countryside, a farmer-focused podcast important to agriculture. It's brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Visit pivotbio.com to find a representative near you.
Welcome back, everyone. Davis, get your calculator ready because I'm going to have to do some math here with Scott McGregor from Northeast Iowa, A.V. Roth, president of the National Pork Producers Council from Southwest Wisconsin. Guys, I said that I was going to get away from the COVID-19 stuff, but during the break, a special report was filed by Pro Farmer policy analyst Jim Wiesmeyer. So I'm going to go ahead and give this to you. Here we go. Congressional sources confirm that the Senate rescue package includes $14 billion to replenish USDA's Commodity Credit Corporation and provides $9.5 billion for ag producers impacted by COVID-19, including livestock and specialty crops. So there's $9 billion in the current CCC coffers. This will bring the total authority up to $32.5 billion, but that $9.5 billion is a different pot of money for livestock and specialty crops. It's not the $50 billion that people like Senator John Hoeven said that it was going to be, Scott, but at least there is a recognition that in replenishing the CCC funds, that there needs to be some assistance out there for agriculture again.
Yeah, I hope that's an encouraging antidote there. Largely, livestock has been ignored in most CCC programs, whether it be dairy, beef, or pork, because those are the three biggest things in Iowa. And so we hope the devils aren't in the details on some of these things. You know how that can be. And
exactly. The
producers are in need of help, but most certainly we're in need of keeping demand strong and keeping the food chain liquid. That's the most important thing right now.
Yeah, AV, when we talk about the livestock portion of this, so much of it is focused on beef and cattle, and I've not heard a lot of conversation about assistance for pork producers out there. Are you hearing anything that might be included in this package?
No, we haven't heard very much that be included for pork, and honestly, this has come on. You know, the last 2 years, pork has been kind of the tip of the spear on this retaliation. retaliation for a trade. So anything that we could get would be greatly appreciated. There's all the family farms need help.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. AV, I would assume that some damage assessments for the pork industry because of COVID-19 are going to be put together here as quickly as possible so that so that a request for help can be made, right?
We have made a request.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yes, that's already been done. That was done, and those numbers have been put together a week ago.
Okay.
But to my knowledge, I don't know of anything that got put in there or any of the details to it. I just know that, you know, anything that we could get from that stimulus package would be great.
Right, right, exactly. Okay. AV, what's going on your place right now? What kind of what are the day-to-day operations, and what decisions are you making right now?
Well, the day-to-day operations is like any farrowing farm where the sows give birth and get bred and make sure they're fed and watered. Getting right now, if somebody's filling up our diesel tank to make sure we're getting ready to get into the field.
Good
so
stuff.
It's nice to have spring coming, getting outside and be good.
Yep, I stepped outside early this morning, AV, just to see what was going on and to listen to the turkeys gobble for a little bit. And, boy, I tell you what, it's starting to feel and smell like spring out there. There's no question about it. Scott, what about your place? What's going on right now? I got to believe it's calving season for you, isn't it?
Yeah. Shout out to U.S. Cellular there. The second time I've dropped off the call. Sorry about that, Chip. But back to the government issues. One thing I want to recognize is the Iowa Cattlemen Association were very instrumental in getting the legislation through. And, you know, everybody's dollars that they do for that is it's an amazing service that we get a good bang for your buck on the cattlemen, both state and national. But on the farm, we're hard at calving. The heifers are about done. It's been a beautiful spring for that. Best spring in a long, long time.
Yep. Yeah, no doubt. So, you know, usually when we talk at this time of the year, Scott, the last couple of years we have been talking about some real problems with the early calving, but it's good to hear that that the early calving is going well this year. What other decisions you making right now?
There's a lot of spring left.
Yes, there is. What other decisions you making right now?
We're getting a lot of our seed laid in, you know, watching this cattle market real close. You know, we've had such a drop off in the futures market. It's been crazy. And it's good to see that the cash price has rebounded a little bit, trying to get a little more equity in the countryside here. The livestock auctions have had a tough go of it. We hope that they can get some good numbers into their rings. And, you know, the whole social distancing there is an issue. Also, yeah. So, but I think producers can rest assured that the auctions are going to continue, and the buyers are going to be out there to get your, whether it's hogs or cattle off the farm or ranch and get them onto the food chain as quickly and easily as they can.
Scott, we don't have a lot of time, but I got to ask you this: what do you make of you know, National has come out and said, "Hey, we're going to pay $5 more than what we did last week." There's been other indications that we're from the packers that they're going to increase their cash bids even before any negotiations took place this week. The bids were higher.
Yeah, Captain Obvious right there. You know, bid us $5 more and then put another $5 on it. You know, it's I don't know what to say when you see boxed beef jump from $1.12 to $1.50 or $2.50. Holy crap. I mean, that's a huge deal, and if we're not getting that back to the producers, we need to be getting it back to them. And, you know, I'm hoping that's going to happen. Now we need stability. Stability is what we need. We don't need any huge swing back down. We need to get the cattle market up. We need to get more dollars in the producers. And our associations are hopefully doing the right things for that.
Exactly. You guys be safe. AV, it was good to meet you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, thank you very much. I hope everybody stays healthy.
Absolutely. Scott, thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you again later.
Help out your local restaurants, guys.
Pivot BioProven is the first ever nitrogen-producing microbe that supplies nitrogen directly to the plant, helping maximize yield. Just ask Zach from Oklahoma.
The average was about a 5 to 6 bushel an acre benefit. Not only is that more money in my pocket, but it's less money I had to spend on fertilizer and wear and tear on my side dressing sprayer.
Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for. The nitrogen that stays put, whether or not.
This just in from the front lines of the fight against tough weeds in soybean fields. Growers have taken the next step with the ultimate secret weapon. Fierce brand herbicides from Valent USA. These pre-emergence herbicides protect soybean fields with multiple effective modes of action, residual control that lasts up to 8 weeks, and fierce resistance management to help you win the battle against resistant weeds and the war. Ask your retailer or visit Valent.com/fierce to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions.
Thanks to Miravis Ace Fungicide for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer today about pre-ordering Miravis Ace to get a head start on head scab control. Always read and follow label instructions.